Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Ches. This is the 8th chapter of Sefer Yirmiyahu. It is a very powerful chapter. And in fact, this, along with the continuation to Perek Tes, is the Haftorah for the morning of Tisha B'Av. So we can recognize some of those words. It's actually read in the trop of Eicha, in the cantillation of Eicha. The setting for this perek, just to put this in a time frame, is in fact, it's a little ambiguous, but Rabbi Binyamin Lau argues that this is referring to the times of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. So again, this is the first king, the era of the first king that Yirmiyahu is living in. Yoshiyahu, of course, was the king who brought about incredible spiritual return, incredible resurgence. At the same time, Yirmiyahu is looking out and he's seeing that this resurgence, although outwardly optimistic, internally was decrepit. So here's how Yirmiyahu goes about addressing this. So the first thing he gives is this really shocking, this really disturbing mashal or description of what's about to happen. And this runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Gimel, where he describes how the bones of the kings of Yehuda and all the noblemen and the Nevi'im are going to be pulled out and exhumed from their graves and spread out over the countryside in the sun, that even in death they have no rest. Very strange, right? Very strange description. So whose bones are these? What's really going on over here? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Vov Amabez tells us a very interesting thing. Quoting this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it says that what this is referring to when Yerushalayim is going to be surrounded by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. And in order to make space for their armies, they exhume these bones to make space for his army to say. So to speak, you can imagine the tramping in of all these tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of troops, and they're all just destroying any relics, any sanctified places of the Jews, including their very own cemeteries. However, it is interesting to notice that it might not just be a practical measure. The Radak points out that the bones are those of Jehoiakim himself, meaning to say Yirmiyahu is talking about the kings and the noblemen and the prophets who ignore Hashem's warnings, and Yirmiyahu is saying to them that your enemies are not going to even give you rest after your death. That's how bad it's going to be. And you'll notice again and again that the main enemy that Yirmiyahu sees here is not so much the Babylonians or the Assyrians or the Egyptians. It's really the false prophets and the weak leaders who are not willing to shape the people or bring the people in the right direction. I do think it is interesting and relevant to think about in today's day and age, in the sense that it's a disturbing sign when you see Jewish graves being desecrated. Just worthwhile thinking about this. We've seen a wave over the last few years across America and certainly in Europe of the desecration of graves, and one has to think very carefully about what that means and at which stage of the process of danger that is. Anyway, it's worth thinking about in terms of Yirmiyahu's first description of this perek. The next section of the perek runs from Pasuk Dalet to Yud Beis. For those looking, want to take a look at this in the actual Psukim. And this, he describes the main issue that he is concerned about and is railing against is the issue of the lack of regret. Here's how he frames it. Yirmiyahu says, "Ka'amar Hashem, hayiplu v'lo yakumu. Will they fall and not get up again? Im yashuv v'lo yashuv. Will they return and not return?" What's going on over here? What exactly is being referred to over here? So on the most basic level, the Metzudas David points out, yes, you know what? He's asking Hashem. He's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, surely they've fallen. Is there no way back? Can't they come back? Is there no way to break the curse of Menashe and to allow the Beis HaMikdash to stand? That's really what he's asking. But the Malbim says, no, it's worse than that. The problem is that it's the double expression of Hayiplu V'lo Yakumu means is that this nation, it's almost rhetorical, is this nation has fallen and keeps falling, meaning they make steps forward and they fall backwards. They seem to be doing tshuva, but they're not really interested in tshuva. So what Yirmiyahu is questioning is, it's questioning not Hashem, but the people's actions themselves. Are they willing to listen? Are they willing to notice? And he sort of gives various examples of how obtruse they are. He says, "Gam chasidah b'shamayim yodah mo'adeha." Even the bird, the stork in the heaven, which is migrating for the warm weather, knows its times. V'tor, v'sis, v'agur, shimru es es bo'ano, v'ami lo yadu es mishpat Hashem. All these birds know that the time that they need to come, they need to go, and my nation has no sense of the laws of God. They have no sense of the natural law. They're sort of plunging aimlessly without even concentration on where they're going. In fact, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, in his famous work called Mesilas Yeshurim, The Path of the Just, picks up on this, and he talks about, in his second chapter in Perek Beis, talking about Zehirus, which is the concept, or the first concept that he deals with, which is one of being careful. And he says the following rather chilling statement based on these psukim, based on this very section in Yirmiyahu. He says, V'ha'olech ba'olamoy b'li hisbonenus. A person who walks in their world without self-reflection, im tovadar ka ora, whether the path they're on is good or not good, hinehu kesumo haholeich al svas hanahar asher sakanasoi vaday atzuma v'ra'asoi k'rovoi me'atzalasoi. It's like walking along the cliff of a riverbank, knowing that the river is raging, but not taking precautions. Ki ilam chisaron hashmira mipnei ha'ivoron, if you're, and this person's blind. He says, whether your blindness is natural or self-caused, it makes no difference because you're ultimately blind to the situation you're in. Shocking. And he goes on to quote these psukim in Yirmiyahu, ish ein ish nachom al ra'asai. Nobody is concerned about their evil, about what they're doing. Nobody's looking inwardly. So on the one hand, Yoshio's generation is this remarkable turnaround. On the other hand, it's empty, says Yirmiyahu. Nothing to it. No content. And then he starts the famous words of the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av morning. Asif asifeim ne'um Hashem. Hashem says, I'm going to consume them. Ein anovim bagefen ve'ein teini v'ateino. There are no grapes on the vine, and there are no figs on the fig tree. The Radak points out that this description over here is, these are the two fruits that Israel is always blessed with. You know, when it says that people will sit atachas gafno v'tachas te'enasa, the ultimate description of peace and serenity in the land of Israel is people sitting under their vines and fig trees, those, you know, indigenous plants to the neighborhood. Now there's nothing there. So Yirmiyahu says, when you walk in a life like that, well, you know what? It comes to destruction. And that's why he describes, he goes on to describe the terrible destruction which is continuing to be coming. And at this point of the, as he moves towards the end of the parak in Yod Zayin to Chof Gimel, he describes these nechashim tzifonim, these vipers who are coming to bite them. And then he says, you capture for a very brief moment at the end of the parak, Yirmiyahu's emotions. And listen to these two lines put together and try to get a sense of what Yirmiyahu is really feeling. He says the following, the words which will be used later on for the kinnah, many, many, many centuries later. Mi yitain roshi mayim, who would give that my head should be filled of water, ve'eini mekor dimay, my eyes should be the source of tears, ve'evka yomom volala al chal eis chalalei basami, that I should weep day and night for the corpses of the daughter of my people. Meaning, here is distraught. Here is in pain. Here you can hear the terrible internal suffering and empathy for the nation of Israel. But if you go to the next Pasuk, Pasuk Aleph, just to skip forward, just to get a sense of the contrast of these two Psukim. Mi itneni bamimbar melon orchim. Who would put me in the desert? Ve'ezvo esami ve'elcho me'iton. I should leave this nation. Ki chulam menoafim. Because they're all adulterers, atzeres bogdim, all turncoats. So you see, it literally within the span of two psukim, as the Malbim points out over here, you hear a prophet who just wants to get away from these people who just don't listen, who scorn him, who torture him, who ignore him. And on the other hand, he weeps for them because he cares so deeply about them. You can imagine this is the parent over here whose child is doing the thing the parent told them not to. Don't go that way. Don't deal with that people. Don't get involved with that crowd. And they got involved with that crowd and they went down the wrong way and they're hurting themselves. And the parent says, I told you so. But as they say, I told you so, they're weeping because their child has gone down this terrible path, which now there's no way back. That's what Yirmiyahu is expressing over here. This is the ultimate prophet. This is the ultimate experience of suffering at the same time as leadership. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.